Said, we're going to take a little detour this morning in the summer of the Psalms, and we're going to be actually in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. So as you guys are turning there, before we dive into the Word, let me share some personal things with you, some things that God has put on my heart and the elders' hearts here at the church. And the passage that we're studying this morning, Exodus 33, it's marked my life in a very significant and special way. 7 years ago, when God was calling my family and I to move from Temecula, California to Murfreesboro, Tennessee to plant a church, it was this interaction between God and Moses that the Lord used in my life to confirm the call to go to a foreign land with nothing, no house, no job, and we didn't actually even own a car at that point, and to go on this venture of faith that made no sense. And so as I was wrestling with leaving everything behind, I know many of you, and you also have moved here from a foreign land or moved to a foreign land from a foreign land. Well, some of you guys can relate to this, but the wrestling that I had and my family had is, we weren't just moving because we wanted to move or we wanted cheaper housing. We were moving with the intention to plant a church. And I don't recommend it, so yeah, don't do that. But when you're praying about something like that and you're begging the Lord to show you his presence, you are begging the Lord to show up in tangible and real ways. And so Sarah and I were wrestling with the idea of coming out here and all that meant, the cost of what it would look like, the risks. And God brought me to this passage in Exodus, chapter 33, verse 15. But he actually brought me to this passage through a song. I encourage you to listen to it. It's Chris Renzinma. It says, "I Don't Want to Go." And if that's not the most accurate sermon title or song title, I don't know what is. But Exodus 33, 15 says this: "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." And it was like, as I was praying that and thinking through that, it was like the Lord was saying this to me: "I'm going to go before you, I'm going to go with you, and that's all you need to know." I was looking for details, I was looking for more specifics, I was looking for an exact location, I was looking for a job, you know, all of these things, and God, just in his grace and his mercy, just said, "I'll go with you, and that's all you need to know." And so the Table Fellowship was born when we moved here in February of 2020. And then there was a thing called COVID that happened. You guys remember that thing? So that was in March of 2020. So we were on the ground for less than a month. And we stayed with my in-laws for a month in February, and we moved to Murfreesboro. It was the 6th of March, 2020, the day after the tornado had hit in Cookeville and Nashville, and then it was, I guess that was 7 days before COVID shut down everything. And so long story short, my plans of moving out here, getting a job, starting a Bible study was all on hold. Well, we moved out here, there was still no job, and there was certainly no Bible study because everyone was staying away from each other. So we eventually started the church or started the Bible study in September of 2020 in our home. And the very first members of that Bible study are right back there, Sarah and Jamie Barnes. They were our neighbors. I remember them riding up in a bike, you know, and I was like, this is cool. People are outside. They're like on bikes and saying hello. This is foreign, right? So they come over. They say hi. They have the coolest accents. We're like, these are our people, you know, and so we started in September of 20, it was actually September 8th of 2020 is when we started our first home Bible study. By God's grace and mercy, it grew. And so we moved it to Pastor Steve and Sherry's house in January of 21. And so we went from January to 21 all the way to Christmas Eve. So that would be December 24th of 2021, where we had our very first service as a church at Brass Horn Coffee. So if you guys have never been to Brass Horn Coffee, I encourage you to check it out, but that is where we started our official gatherings as a launched church. And then in January, 2 weeks later, we started Sunday mornings. And then by God's grace, again, it grew from one service to two services, and that brings us all the way to December of 2024, or 2023 rather, when we were approached with the potential of moving here to where we're meeting now and holding services. And then January 28th of 2024, so it's just about a year and a half ago, we started meeting here. And now here we are, 7 years later from when God showed me this passage in Exodus 33, verse 15, that we face another faith-filled decision. This time, it's not moving, so don't worry, we're not announcing our leaving or moving, but rather it's merging with another church and what that looks like. The stakes still feel just as high as I did when I moved my family across the country. And God brought me back to this passage again and again. My prayer is, Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go unless your presence is not going to go before us. And lo and behold, the Lord says, my presence is in fact going before you. You just need to go and trust me to figure out the rest. And so that's certainly where we're at here this morning. And so as I'm reading Genesis or Exodus 33 to prepare for this morning, what comes to mind is just faith and reliance on the presence of the Lord. And so to give you some context to what's happening here in chapter 33, Moses has now been up on Mount Sinai to meet with God 8 times, right? You think like every time he's going, he's seeking the heart, the mind, the presence of the Lord. He's being encouraged how to lead the people. He's giving instructions on how to live and instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And so Moses is meeting with the Lord as if it were face to face, having these conversations with God. And God is saying, look, it's time for you now to go into the promised land, but this time my presence is not going before you. Imagine hearing that from the Lord. Imagine saying, yes, go, but my presence is not going to go. Well, Moses had a faithful response in verse 15. He says, I'm not going to go unless I know your presence is going to go before me. So this is what's going on here. Chapter 32 was a heartbreaker. Moses is up meeting with God one of the times on Mount Sinai. And lo and behold, he's gone for about 40 days, 40 nights, and he comes back. And what happens is the children of Israel, they made these graven images, this golden calf, to worship this God because Moses had forsaken them in their minds. God had forsaken them. It's been 40 days. And he's like, what, really? 40 days? And then all of a sudden you're making your own gods? Like, silly, but oftentimes we do the same thing. We maybe don't take our jewelry off and mold them into little golden cows, but we do other things when we don't feel like God's presence is with us, or we don't feel like we're getting the answers that we may want. And so Moses and God are having these conversations. God's saying, look, go, but my presence is not going with you. And Moses essentially says, Lord, I don't want the blessing. I don't want the promised land. I don't want any of that stuff. I want you. And I feel like that's the place that we need to come to as Christians, that it's not about the blessing, it's not about the job, it's not about the understanding of what God's calling us to. It's about the presence of the Lord and us pressing into that and seeking the heart and the mind of Jesus. And so that's where we're at today. So as we walk through this process of merging with Lighthouse Baptist, and more details will come on that, you know, the elders and I, we've been praying and asking the Lord this question: are we willing to go if God's not in this? And it's a unwavering no, absolutely not. We are not going to move an inch unless we know the presence of the Lord is going before us. And so why are we doing this? Why are we walking this road? Well, we're not doing it just to grow the church. I assure you of that. We're not doing it to combine resources because, you know, two incomes are better than one. We're not doing it for any of those reasons. We're simply doing it because after prayer and discussion, the Lord has showed us that he, in fact, is leading us in this direction, and we must now be obedient and faithfully walk in the path that he is showing us. We don't know what that path looks like all the way. In fact, it's very cloudy at times, but we do know that God has called us in this direction, and so we have no choice but to move forward in obedience, because if we didn't, we would be in sin and disobedient to what we know that God has called us to. And so now, walking this road, doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Believe me, this week has been challenging, but it's been good. I've had to lean on the Lord in prayer. I've had to lean on my friends, my other pastor friends, to encourage me. So it's not going to be easy, but anything worthwhile is hard, right? And when we're walking with Jesus, it's just 10x'd. That's like if God is calling us to do something, what does he call us to do? I think it was Bonhoeffer said this, that when God calls a man, he calls a man to first die and then to come. Jesus said, pick up your cross how many times? Daily and follow me. And so we know the road ahead is going to be hard, but we know it's going to be good because we are seeking the presence of God. So as we open Exodus 33 today and we look at the story, I want us to listen through the lens of faith-filled dependency on the person in the presence of Jesus. Moses is a flawed man, just like me, just like Pastor Steve, just like Pastor John. We are flawed men, and guess who we're leading? Flawed people, right? And so just like Moses was leading a flawed people, we too are leading a flawed people, but we are leading him to what God has for us, and we truly believe that. And so it was funny, I have a friend here that I've known since I was 17, and he was sharing this verse with me, and it made its way into the sermon this morning, and it's Psalm 77, verse 19. It says this, "Your road led through the sea, and your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there." I think this is a perfect description of what's going on with us as a church as we faithfully seek the heart and mind of God as we move forward. We don't know what it looks like. We don't even know what where the pathway is, but it's there. God knows where it's at. And so we have to just trust to follow him. And so let's open our Bibles. Finally, long introduction to get us to where we want to spend our time here this morning in Exodus chapter 33. And let's walk with Moses through the same moment that really speaks directly into our situation here this morning. Jesus, we come before you. Before we open your word, we ask for your presence to be evident to us. God, we ask for your word to be illuminated to us. God, we pray for a fresh understanding of your scriptures, Lord, that we cannot even understand this unless, God, you reveal it to us. And so as we dive into your word now, would you help us to be faithful Bereans studying your word? And God, we know that your word will not return void and it will accomplish the purpose in which you sent it, Lord. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to show us here this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Exodus 33, starting in verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Go up to the land that is flowing with milk and honey.'" That's all amazing. If we just stop right there, we're like, yes, Lord, that is what I want. I want the land. You say you're going to give it. You're going to send an angel. He's going to drive out all the enemies. And so Moses and God are having this really sweet conversation. And Moses is pretty excited about everything until it gets to the second half of verse 3, where he says, "But my presence is not going to go before you." But we'll get to that here in a minute. See, God calls Moses to accomplish based off of God's past promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So when God is saying, "I will give it, I will drive out the enemies, I will send my angel, this land has got all the provisions you could possibly need," the milk and honey reference is symbolic of it has what you need to survive. All these things were promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so what God is doing is he's not saying, "Because Moses, you've been so faithful and you're such a good guy, I'm going to give this to you." He says, "No, because I made a promise and I'm going to make good on my promise. I'm going to be faithful to myself and to my word. I will give this to you." But there's consequences to sin. Isn't that the truth? Right? And so you look at verse 3, the second half of verse 3, it says this, "For," so I'm going to give you the land, it's going to be awesome, flowing with milk and honey, "but I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Everything was going so good for Moses until it got to the second half of verse 3. How many of you guys would like to be described as a stiff-necked people? How many of you guys know you're stiff-necked peoples, okay? But you don't want to hear that from God's mouth. Trust me, you do not want to hear that from God's mouth. And so when he's saying, look, you can go to the land because I'm going to be faithful to myself. I'm going to be faithful to my word because I cannot lie. I've never broken a promise. I can't and I never will. But my presence is not going before you. Well, why is that? Well, it's because of the sin of Israel. Back in chapter 32, we talked about it a moment ago. As Moses was up on Mount Sinai one of the eight times, the people had started to make a graven image, which goes against the Ten Commandments, right, that Moses had just received. So as he comes back down the mountain, he sees all the people with this golden image, his golden calf, and he takes the tablets and breaks them, throws them down and breaks them, symbolizing the covenant that was broken between man and God. And so this is a huge problem for Moses now, because now he's got to go possess this land and take it. But the practical presence and nearness of God is not going to go before them. Because the children of Israel, they enjoyed all kinds of miracles. When God led them through the desert by day with this smoke, like a pillar, it's called. It's described in the Bible as a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Right? This is the practical presence of God in their lives. And so what Moses is being told is, I'm going to take these things away. You're going to go, but I'm not going to be the torch at night, and I'm not going to be the cloud cover by day. You have to go and walk by faith and not by sight. Like, how many of you guys would rather walk by sight and not faith? I know I would, right? And so when God is telling Moses to go, Moses is a little freaked out. It's scary. I can imagine it being scary. We'll look at verse 4. Story continues and it says, and when the people, this is all of Israel, they heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people, and I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. So Israel's response to hearing this horrible news that God's presence was not going before them was a faithful and proper response, as they mourned. As they took off their jewelry, these ornaments are basically necklaces and rings and those kinds of things. This was a sign of humility. You know, it's odd, it's funny, that these same ornaments were probably the same things that were molded into the golden calf just a chapter prior. So as they strip themselves of these things to make themselves their own God, now they're stripping themselves of these things as a sign of mourning and repentance as they draw near the one true God. But their response here is appropriate and it's biblical, is they hear this bad news that God's presence isn't going before them, so naturally they start to mourn the loss of God's presence in their life. But that loss of his presence was a result of their own sin. Now, is God everywhere at all times? Yes. Is God's presence still with them? Yes. But the physical attributes of his presence, such as the cloud and the fire and the splitting of the rock, all those things were not going to go before them, right? So let's move on. Verse 7, it says, then Moses, he took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. And he called at the tabernacle of meeting, and it came to pass that everyone who had sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside of the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people arose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his own tent. I love Moses. Moses gets this terrible news that God's presence wasn't going to go before them into the promised land. And so what does he decide to do? he decides to seek the heart and the mind and the presence of Jesus, or of God, as he makes his tent, the tent of the tabernacle, the meeting place of God, and he decides that he's not going to let the brokenness, his brokenness, Israel's brokenness, stop him from seeking God and seeking the very presence of God. So Moses knew that he wasn't going to dwell inside Israel's camp, so he had to go set his tent a little ways or far ways from the camp as a symbol of, look, I'm going to separate myself unto you, God, and I'm going to seek your face, and I want to hear from you. And let me just encourage us as a church, when you want to hear from the Lord, you need to set yourself apart. You need to remove distractions. You need to fast. You need to pray. Sometimes removing yourself from situations is the only way you're going to hear from the Lord and the only way you're going to experience his presence. And so as Moses did this, of course, we're going to see in verse 11 that God meets with him. Verse 11, it says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." I love God's faithfulness here. Even in the midst of this terrible news that God told Moses, my presence is not going to go before you into the land, we see God show up in a real, practical, tangible way. And he met with Moses as a man speaks to his friend face to face. See, I think Moses had the faith. Well, Moses knew the character of God. And so he wasn't afraid to go set up his tent, call it the tabernacle, and ask for the Lord's presence. And I wonder how many of us are bold enough to meet with the Lord that way. How many of us have the courage and the boldness to go say, you know what, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until you speak to me. God's not our genie. That's not what I'm getting at. We just rub his belt, rub the thing enough, and he'll speak. No, but how many of us has the faith that God's desire is to meet with us, is to speak to us, and we're going to search his scriptures, and we're going to pray, and we're going to fast, and we're going to determine in our hearts and our minds that we are going to meet with the Lord? Well, let me tell you, I would love to say I've done this, and God's just showed up in miraculous ways in my life time and time again, but the truth of the matter is, it's hard. I've been pressing into the Lord, seeking him really diligently, over this whole situation, you know, if should we merge with Lighthouse, should we not merge, you know, and God has shown up and just encouraged and brought complete unity between our leadership and Lighthouse's leadership in a way that God has honored our boldness in seeking him, and he showed up in real tangible ways, and he's revealed his heart and his mind to us. But it's difficult. I can't say that, yeah, anytime I want to hear from the Lord, I just go and pray and he speaks to me. Oftentimes, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, and I'm like, Lord, show me, show me, show me. And he does, but I don't like what he shows me, so I say, show me more. Show me another thing. Show me another thing. Are we satisfied with just the presence of God without him revealing what's next? See, the book of Hebrews tells us this, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. This is what I want you to focus in on. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do we believe that God's going to show up in your life and absolutely blow our minds? Or do we come to him with skepticism and faith, like we talked about last week, kind of that one net faith versus that multiple net faith? Do we believe that God will show up if we invite him to? I'm no faith hero by any stretch of the imagination. But I have seen the Lord absolutely blow my mind and my expectations out of the water as we have just been faithful just to say, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. And this is the place that Moses is getting to as he's meeting with God face to face. He's begging God for his presence to go with him. Let's read on in verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you will and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is one of the most incredible interactions between man and God. Moses boldly sought the Lord, and he begged the Lord. He says, look, he essentially had this conversation. He says, you keep telling me that we're going to go. You keep telling me that you're going to give us this land, but you haven't given me the details. I need to know and understand the process and the details before I proceed. This is essentially the conversation that Moses is having with God. God doesn't smite him, but God bears with him and shows him his grace. Moses wanted to know more than God was willing to share with him, and that is a perfect picture of my life story. I want to know more. I want to have details. Yet God says, no, you just be obedient to what I've asked you to be obedient to. So as Moses is talking with God, he says, look, you tell me you're going to go, or we're supposed to go, and these people are going to follow me, but like, who are these people? And you say your angel's going to go ahead of me, but like, who's the angel? Like, how do I know? And how are the people going to know that you're with me? So he's having this raw and real conversation. And I would just say, you can look at this and be like, man, Moses is out of line here. You can look at it that way. Or you can look at it like, man, Moses sought the heart and mind of God so much that he was not satisfied. He was not satisfied without the presence of the Lord to go with him. Look at verse 14. And God said, he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I love God's response because God is so good. God says, look, not only will my presence go before you now, but I'm going to give you the rest that you need on this journey. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help, find grace to help in time of need. I think boldly seeking the Lord will result in the presence of God in our lives. And let me tell you, I've been restless, especially this last week. So if any of you guys prayed for me last week, I'm telling you, thank you. And this is why, because I have been restless this last week, not knowing if God was in this, but really restless on like how it's going to work. Like I have enough faith to just like say, okay, I'm going to go, but I don't have enough faith to leave it there. I want to know more. And so I've been restless this week about discerning the Lord's heart on this merger. And what God is showing me currently is that the key to rest is found in the presence of Jesus. I don't need to know anything other than Jesus. Paul said in Corinthians that I want to preach him and him crucified, and that's all I need. That's all you need. But are we satisfied? Intellectually, we would say yes. Theologically, we would say yes, we're satisfied. But practically, how we choose to live our lives at times, I can speak for myself, I can't speak for you. Jesus isn't enough at times. Because I'm looking for more. I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for the next step. I'm looking for the next decision. And what it boils down to is a restlessness and a lack of resting in the presence of Jesus. But what God has asked of me, what God has asked of every single one of us, is trust and obedience, and that's it. Verse 15, this is the kind of the climax of this chapter here. Then Moses, he says, are you sure? Because if your presence, excuse me, does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. God, I know you told me you're going to go now, but like, are you sure? Because I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are going before me. See, Moses knows that he is absolutely done for if the presence of God is not in his life. Moses wasn't satisfied with the angel that was going to be sent ahead. Moses wasn't satisfied with the blessing of the promised land. All that meant nothing to him if he didn't have the presence of the Lord in his life. So the elders and I, we have been praying, seeking the heart and the mind of God, and seeking the presence of Jesus specifically about this decision to merge or not to merge. And this decision, and we are resolved in our hearts and our minds that this is in fact what God is doing. But that decision didn't come overnight. And we also didn't come looking for this either. So for some of you guys that don't know the whole story of how this came to be, I'll try to make it as short as possible, but I think it adds some context to not only the scripture and what I'm going through and what we as a church are going through, but also just this whole merge thing in general, is that when we moved here, I was a youth pastor for like 12 years. Youth ministry is like near and dear to my heart. I wanted Bella, our oldest, who was going into sixth grade, to have a youth group. So we looked around, and it was through friends. That's a long, long story of God's miraculous just provision. Friends that we knew back in Temecula in 2013 and 14 moved to Murfreesboro in 2017 or 18. We got connected with them through a mutual friend they went to school with. They got connected here to this youth group. And so coincidentally, right, we show up here. Bella shows up here in October of 2021. And Bella goes to summer camp the next summer. She absolutely loves the youth pastor. Great guy. I met him. They met in this building. I met the youth pastor in this building before I even knew what this place was. And I met the youth pastor. We became fast friends. And then March of 23, so about a year and a half after Bella started attending here, he gives his resignation. It says, hey, you know, next Wednesday is my last Wednesday. He and I had become friends, so I called him. I said, everything okay? He's like, yeah, you know, it's just time to go. And so I was like, okay. And it was around that same time that God was providing for me to leave my previous job and to do another job and then also work at the church part-time. And so I was able to connect the youth pastor, Bella's old youth pastor, with my old job. And so they got together. Through that relationship, God opened the door in September of 2023. Jeff, the youth pastor, calls me and says, hey, Kyle, Lighthouse needs some help. You know, they're about without a pastor. Can I give them your number? The Lord put you on my heart. And I said, sure. So I meet with them in November 8th, 2023. And I said, how can I help? How can I serve you guys? What can I do? And they're like, well, we need someone to preach. I'm like, okay, I'll preach. So if you guys remember, we had two services at Brass Horn. We cut it down to one. So I preached the morning service at Brass Horn. I drove over here and preached their morning service for the month of December. Through that dialogue of starting in November of 23, God just began a really cool relationship. They offered us to meet here in the shed. And then over the last 18 months, I've been approached several times by some of the leadership there about what would a merge look like. And so as we prayed, it was kind of like, yeah, let's move forward. Okay, let's stop. Let's move forward. Let's stop. But God has never released me from, or released us as a church from here. And I was looking, trust me, I mean, we have realtors in the church that have been looking on our behalf, buildings and stuff. It's like God has just never opened any doors. And so I've had to be content with just, okay, well, we're going to keep moving forward. Well, over the last few months in particular, since May, those merger talks have gotten more and more serious. And so as Stephen, myself, and John meeting with their leadership team and praying, it's just been very evident that this is in fact what we believe God is doing. I've tried to pull the plug a couple of times, but also just not had a peace about that. And so as we have been seeking the Lord, God just won't let it go. And so that brings us to where we're at today, in prayerfully considering how this is all going to work. And we have resolved in our hearts that this is, in fact, what God has for us in this moment. Now, he has every prerogative to go to the left or right or change it. But for now, he's telling us just to put our heads down, keep moving forward. People are going to say things. There's going to be, you know, things said about the church that just aren't true. You know, because when we're doing the Lord's will, there's going to be opposition. And so we need not be surprised by the opposition, but we need to press into the presence of the Lord in the midst of the opposition. And so Moses, back to our story here in chapter 33, starting in verse 17, Moses says, okay, God, I'm satisfied with your presence, but would you show me more? Look at verse 17. It says, So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this. I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. God honored Moses' request for his presence because he diligently and boldly sought the heart and the mind and the face of God. In verse 19, then he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you should stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. There's a lot going on here. So Moses, again, is begging for the nearness, the closeness, the goodness, the glory of God. And so God says, look, I will show you my glory, but you can't handle all of it. So I'm going to hide you in this rock, this hewn out, this crevice over here, and I'm going to cover you with my hand. Then I'm going to walk by, and you're going to see the back of me. That's all that you can handle. God, and notice what it says here in verse 21, when God's response to Moses is, yes, I'll show you my glory. He says, look at verse 21. He says, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So when Moses is asking for the glory of the Lord and the goodness of God, it's subtle, but it's simple, and yet it's impactful. In verse 21, he says, look, my goodness starts with being near me. He says, look, there's a place here. Here's a place by me. That sounds silly to say, but you guys want to see the goodness of God? It starts with walking with God. How can we see the goodness of God if we're not following after God? When God says, look, it's right here by me. There's a place. You want to see my goodness? It starts with being right here next to me. And oftentimes God allows and prescribes things to happen that wreck our life because that's the only way that we will come by his side. And this is what's going on right here. And then God says, it's by me, and he hides them in the cleft of the rock and covers him with his hand to protect him from the glory. Now, the cleft of the rock, we don't have time to get all the way into it, but it's symbolic of a lot of things. But God's glory is overwhelming, and a sinful man will not survive God's glory in full exposure. And so the cleft becomes the refuge, the hiding place, the place of covering and protection for God's glory. See, and God's the one that initiated this. Moses didn't go hide himself in the cleft of the rock. God placed him in the cleft. He put his hand on him and protected him because God says, look, I'm going to show you my glory, but I'm going to protect you from my glory at the same time. So that cleft of the rock is a foreshadowing of Jesus, the cleft for us. But just as Moses was hidden in the rock to survive the full weight of the glory of God, we too are hidden in Christ, given access to the Father without being consumed by his glory. Just a beautiful picture of the gospel. And so as we stand as a church on the threshold of, you know, merging with Lighthouse Baptist Church, we are asking the Lord to go before us. We are asking him to show us the way. This merger is going to stretch us. It's going to change us. It's going to refine us. But we are resolved as an elder board that, Lord, if you don't go before us, we don't want to move an inch. We also believe, just like Moses did, that God is, in fact, going before us. And he's already gone ahead of us. He's already gone before us. and he's going to give us the rest that we need, which is found in the nearness of God. So let's pray as a church. Please pray for me. Please pray for John, for Steve. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, because that's the only thing that matters. Know that our heart in this merger is to shepherd a flock that is hurting. It's to love a people who God loves, and it's to help mend broken hearts and wounded sheep, because that is the heart and mind of God. So as we move forward, we don't do so in our own strength and our own earthly wisdom. We move forward in the presence and the leading of the Lord every step of the way. Let's pray. God, we come before you thankful for this opportunity that we got just to open your word, and we look at a passage that was written thousands of years ago that is speaking directly into our situation. As we can draw parallels and we can draw comparisons, Lord, that you are still speaking today through your word. Lord, that your word is that rock, that foundation in which we build our lives upon. Lord, and so as we studied it this morning, would you help us to make application in our hearts and our minds? And then as we leave today and we go about our life, we go to work, we go to school, we do our thing, Lord, would we remember that all of that is worthless without your presence, God? And so would you help us to boldly seek you and to ask for your presence to go before us, to show us the way, to lead the way. But Jesus, we love you, and we're excited about what the future holds. We don't know, Lord. I don't know, at least. Maybe someone else does, but I certainly don't. And so I just pray, God, that you would help us just to trust in you in this process. We pray these things in your name. Amen.